Hey everybody, on this episode of Stamp and Chance Boxing, we are going back to Saudi Arabia. Tyson Fury, Usyk, it's in the books. Also, guys, we have Christian Mabilibi coming up this weekend as well. Navarrete fought this past weekend. We're going to touch on that. Cottrell and Taylor, 2 years too late. All this and so much more on this episode of Stamp and Chance Boxing. So strap in and thank you for letting us into your ears. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Samp and Chance Boxing. I'm your host, Bobby Sampson, joined as always, my man with the master plan, Mr. Chance Michaels. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Can't complain, man. It's Friday Eve, Thursday's here. We've got a lot of wrestling and some boxing this weekend, so it's another action-packed, filled weekend, man. Lots
Yeah,
going on,
too
lots
too
going on.
excited. Too excited for the WWE card is my least of things coming up, but even that could be all right. We'll
I
find
think
out.
so. I mean, it could be a sleeper, right? Who knows, right? But let's find out. Let's see what it does, and we'll go from there. But let's talk about what everyone's been talking about this whole week, man. Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk. Surprised, but not surprised. Your thoughts on that fight, man?
It was a good fight. Pretty much lived up to all the hype. A lot of these big fights don't. This one did. It was super, super close. Obviously, Tyson getting rocked there on the ropes, that hurt him. That changed the fight. Probably would have been a draw if that didn't happen. But the judges got it right. Fury said he won, but not. Usyk edged out a close fight, 7-5. The main problem with Fury, he needs to get a better team around him. His dad's out of control. Sugar Hill Stewart is not getting through to him. Fury threw them under the bus. He said they would have told me I was down in the 12th round. I would have went for a knockout. Whether they did or not, we don't know. I can't remember what they said to him. Either way, he needs some better people around him because this is a clown show. I get it. Fury's fun. He likes to joke and have fun. But this isn't working. You barely beat Nagano. You lost to a guy half your size. If Fury was disciplined, would have had his hands up, better technique, he would probably mop the floor with Usyk. But he's not. He's not. I don't know. He's goofing around in there, and he needs a better trainer. So hopefully he changes it up. Usyk's a tough man. He's never been beat by any man in a professional ring. And he's technique. He's got discipline. He moves his head. All the things Fury should be doing that he doesn't do, Usyk does. And hey, Usyk's the best heavyweight of this era. Hands down, he proved it. So good for Usyk.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much covered it all there. The one thing I didn't like in this fight, and I think cost him as well, not just that knockdown, was his clowning around in the ring. I mean,
Yeah.
you're going up against a straight killer, legit killer. Like, I mean, this guy's fought in the war. He kind of reminds me of guys like Krokop and stuff like that from yesterday, yesteryear. It's just, you can't go into a fight with that kind of attitude against a guy like this who has no quit in him. I mean, learn from Joshua. Joshua rocked him, but he came back. I mean, there's no denying this man. Like he is on a mission, and he proved that. I mean, if Tyson didn't clown around, if he took rounds off, it felt like. I mean, to me,
Yeah, and
he's
Tyson
still
had him in
being.
the sixth round. He kind of stepped back instead of pressuring him.
Yeah,
Usyk,
like.
if you watch the sixth round, Usyk came back out in the seventh round. He wasn't moving his head. He wasn't having his hands up. Usyk was hurt. Tyson took the foot off the pedal, and boom, look what happened.
Well, that's exactly it. It's just the clowning around. You can't do that stuff like standing in the corner, especially at the heavyweight level. I don't care if Usyk is smaller than you. He's still a heavyweight and he possesses that power. I mean, once he got close enough to touch the guy, look at his face. I mean, he was unmarked up until the seventh round, right? And, so it was just
The
like.
problem with Tyson is he's so filthy rich. I don't think you can discipline him now. I don't think you can bring in his boxing technique, get him his hands up, get him to. He wasn't fainting at all. A big man, 6'9", is not fainting against a 6'3" guy. Like, just a bad game plan.
It was a
I don't know
game
if you can even
of
give him a
what?
good game plan because he won't listen.
You know what? Take nothing away from Usyk, though, man. He came in, he did what he was
Yeah, he
supposed
won.
to
Yeah.
do. He took the shots, question his body. I don't think he can per se, but I mean, it did get hurt. But I mean, you can't deny the man. He won that fight and he did it convincingly, in my opinion. And it was
If this
close,
played
but.
out how it's supposed to, if Fury would have won the fight, we'd be like, I don't need a rematch. He's too big. Usyk's too small. But now that Usyk won, there's more money in the rematch. Tyson's at a fishing today. He's taking the rematch in October. That's the next fight. So now it's got more hype, more juice. Now Tyson is chasing. Usually he's being chased. This adds a lot more fun to the fight. It'll be a good rematch again.
I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely. I mean, the fact that it was a close fight made the rematch look, appealing now, right? But I mean, if Tyson shows up the way he did this fight, clowning around, being a jokester in the ring. I mean, come on, man. I mean, A, I think that's disrespectful to your opponent, you know, at that level, especially at the heavyweight level. This is the crown jewel of boxing, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I just think you lost
His
an edge.
dad's got to go. Sugarhurst Hill Stewart's got to go. Hopefully, Frank Warren and Bob American say, listen, dude, you're fighting for everything right here. Get these guys out of here. We'll get you some trainers in here and fix your technique, get your discipline. But he's so filthy rich. Good luck.
Fair enough, fair enough. Also that night, my friend, in America, we had Navarrete fighting that night. I heard that was just an amazing fight. Why don't you tell us about that, brother man?
I wouldn't call it an amazing fight. It was very, very sloppy. Navarrete is a fun fighter to watch. He's horrible technique. I don't teach the guys that I train that. I never learned that way. I mean, I guess if you're a pro, you can do that, but it paid off for Berenicek because he is like Lomo. He is like, was like, these guys are very disciplined guys. They don't clown around. They don't goof around. They stay tight. They stay tucked. They stay with the proper basic fundamentals, but it works. Navarrete is throwing wild punches. His hands were down. He's looping like this. It was a really, really close fight. I wouldn't call it a great fight. It was sloppy. That's the best way to describe it. A sloppy fight. But Brenichek got the decision, a split decision. Nobody was surprised, but he came up in weight and he lost to a guy who's 34, 35, but he just has a technique. He's tight and tucked. This is the third champion this week for the Ukrainians. First of all, we had Lomo beating Kambosos, then we had Usyk beating Fury. And in the same night, a few hours later, Brenichek beats Navarrete for the belt. I mean, these guys are just. They're disciplined. The Ukrainian fighters disciplined. Those three. Brenichek's not on Usyk or Lomo's level by any stretch of the imagination. He was a little bit above a journeyman that was supposed to be a stepping stone for Navarrete. Guy showed up to fight with a great game plan. And Navarrete, I don't know. He's fun, but it's not an effective style when you're going to go up in the weights and fight guys that are disciplined. So big night for the Ukraine. Big, big, big night.
It was a huge night for the
Navarrete was
Ukraine. It's
shocked.
a huge week for the Ukraine, right? I mean, but it just goes to show you the level of discipline that these guys have. I mean, Berenichek, Usyk,
Lomachenko.
Lomo, the Klitschko brothers. You look at all these guys, like you mock them, all these British guys. You know, this is the thing. You look at boxing, Ukrainian boxing is very different from British boxing. You know, it's kind of like wrestling. You got European wrestling, you got North American style wrestling. It just shows you where the levels are at in this, man. Like who takes it seriously and who's not taking it seriously. And you look at these guys, like I said, they're all warriors. I mean, they all fought in a war. Like, who's to say how many people they've taken down, right?
Well, they weren't really on the front lines for that, but I know what you're saying. They were participating, yeah.
Right. So just having that kind of mentality going into a fight, you best come best prepared. And we saw that. Well, I don't know about George. I think George tried his best. But you know, based on what you're telling me, Navarrete just look, you know, discombobulated in there, and he didn't look as good as he should.
No, he's got a wild style, and it's
Well, that's what
exciting
I
to watch,
mean.
but it's not effective when he's moving up in the weight. These guys hit harder now.
Well, that's the thing. You that wild style, you know, is not going to work for you. So he needs to improve that. At that level, you should be able to make those adjustments, right? And you look at the Usyk fight as well. Like, I mean, everyone was praising Fury for making the changes that he needed to do, and that's when he took over. But then again, Usyk made the changes he needed to make in that eighth round to carry on and, you know, eat that out. So
And Brenichek never really hurt Navarrete, but he just had enough punches. They were effective enough to get the scores, to get to win the rounds. He didn't really have him on the ropes, never really stung him much, but just pot shot and moving around, good technique, and he won the fight.
No, it was good. It was good. I'm good. I'll be honest, man. I only saw a bit of it. I got to go back and watch the whole thing. It was just so many things going on Saturday, man. I had to pick and choose what I could do. All right. So let's move on to the fights that are coming up. The one that really interestingly, really interesting is happening here in Canada this weekend, man. A top ranked card in Canada in Quebec. We have Christian Mobili going up against Mark the Dynamite. What do they call him? The Dynamite Kid Heffron. I'm gonna call this a stay busy fight for Mobili. What do you think?
This is a tune-up fight for him. Mark Dynamite, Kid Dynamite's record is 30-3, but that's a little bit deceiving. He's tough. He's from Britain. He's a tough fighter. Here's the thing. They've already said, if so, to put it to you this way, Mobili is a 21, 25-1 favorite. So that means you got to put down $2,500 to win $100 on him. So basically giving Heffron no chance at all. Doesn't mean he can't upset the younger fighter. This is a tune-up fight for Mobili. If he wins this fight, he'll be fighting Sergey Dvorenkachenko next. If he wins a fight, he's 15-5. He's 38, 39 now. He's lost some tough fights to Triple G, Charlo, all these guys. So this is a stepping stone for Mbili. He wants to win this fight. He's the number two ranked super middleweight in the world. He needs to win this fight, and he'll start fighting Dvorchenko and all these other guys, and on his way up he goes. He should win this fight. You know, the kid Dynamite might give him a little bit of a run for his money for a few rounds, but I see Mbili stop on him 6th, 7th round. That's how good this kid is.
Yeah. So Mavili's coming off a 6-round stoppage on the stool against Murdoch. So, you know, he's got that in his back pocket coming with all momentum. Where Heffron, he had 3 losses not coming into this fight, but, you know, 3 consecutive losses. He won his last fight by knockout. So he is coming in with a little bit of juice himself. I think the thing that's interesting here is that he's ranked, like you said, ranked number 2 by the WBC and the WBA as well, right? So, I mean, he's right there for a title shot. So the question is, and in the past, he's called out Canelo, he's called out Plant, but you're right. I think, you know, they're doing the right thing with him. And
no, setting... Bob already said, they already said, you win this fight, you're fighting Dvorchenko. Yeah, that's set in stone. I believe they're targeting that for August 17th.
Yeah. So that's the next level. But, I mean, obviously, he's going to call out those other names, right? But, I mean, this kid is up. I mean, this is going to be his first fight with Top Rank now, I believe, since he signed with them, the co-promotion. So
yeah, since he joined up with them. And I think the other thing's called easy management or something that.
He's an exciting fighter. He's got great skill. He's got great footwork underneath him. I mean, with Heffron, though, you know, like I said, he's got that raw power. He kind of reminds me of the guy that Canelo fought, that other British guy in Mexico.
John Ryder?
John Ryder. He's
more skilled than John Ryder, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. He's more skilled than John Ryder, but I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, this is Mobili's to lose, in my opinion.
Yeah,
right?
He's a massive favorite. They're giving Heffron no respect at all. Zero.
Yeah.
The oddmakers say, you're just basically, you have no chance. You're going to get smoked. $2,500 win $100. That's all. Nobody's going to bet that.
No.
You want to put down $100 and Heffron wins, you're going to win $2,500.
Well,
long shot, but good value.
Honestly, I just think he needs to be careful. I think he just needs to play it smart and, you know, find his range. And I think everything, like you said, I think 7th round, this should be done, right?
Done.
He's going up against the Bulldog, and you can never, ever underestimate those guys. Those guys are savages, right? So, you know, best luck and best
free fight on ESPN in the States and on TSN here. And
yeah,
it's Top Rank too. A lot of good cards.
And it's on DAZN.
Yep.
Yeah, so we got a great fight right there. All right, earlier in that day, though, we're going to go back to the UK. And I said in the intro, this fight's 2 years too late, in my opinion. Josh Taylor against Cottrell. You know, that first fight was amazing. It was great. And Josh lost. He totally lost that fight. But the judges, you know, chose him. And
they needed a Lomo, man. I know it sucks when that happens. But
it sucks that it happens. And even he knew it happened. You know, and Cottrell, you look at the guy and he looks so dejected. If there was a reason to retire, that would have been it, right? I mean, you look at Mahoney in Australia. He retired after that fight. He says, I'm done with this, man. I've won. Mm-hmm. I've won 2 fights and being cheated out of 2 victories sort of a deal. That's Mahoney in Australia. I'm surprised Cottrell stuck around, you know, like after that, but he did. But here's the problem. This is just a domestic money fight. It has nothing, you know, no value to it anymore. It's not like either one of these guys are going to get a title shot out of this.
Yeah, there's no belt on the line here. But Cottrell is younger, so he's trying to avenge this loss and try to work his way up to eventually get a title shot. But there's nothing on the line here but pride and ego.
No, and Taylor hasn't fought in a bit now either, right? So he's coming
last off. Ball he fought Teofimo about a year ago.
Well, it's a long layoff, though, right? Still a long layoff. He's coming back after a long layoff. And, you know, I mean, I just, you know, I don't know what to expect from this fight. Because it's just too much time is wasted. This should have happened within that year. You know what I mean? The fact that it took this long to get back to this, and considering that Josh has lost all the titles and everything, it just makes me wonder, like,
these guys have been going at it for a while. They've been trading tirade on social media. Yeah. They've been insulting each other. They've been insulting each other's family. So there's no love loss here. I don't know if they really, really hate each other. This is more of a personal competitive thing in the ring. This is going to be fireworks simply because Taylor felt he won. Most people think Cottrell won. Mm-hmm. Same with the Lomo stuff. So Taylor wants to prove that, hey, I did beat you. I am going to beat you again. So I look for Taylor to have a good performance. I'm not saying he's going to win. He lost to Teofimo. If he loses this fight again, he'll never get another title shot. That's pretty much it for him. 2 in a row. He's getting older. Is he 38 now or something like that? So he's an old man in the boxing realm. So Cottrell wants to avenge that loss. I think we're going to see fireworks here. I think this will be maybe the most exciting fight of the weekend because both these guys want to really prove it. Will they? We don't know. It's been 27 months now. It's been a long time. But I think Cottrell is going to stop him in the later rounds just because he wants it that bad. And we're going to see a trilogy of this. If this fight is exciting, we will see Taylor Cottrell 3 if Cottrell wins. I think he will. I'm going to call a late 10th, 11th round stoppage TKO for Mr. Jack Cottrell. That's my final prediction.
Yeah, I think Cottrell is going to finish him off in 10, personally. I think under 10 rounds, he'll get the job done just because he's going to come in with a vengeance and he's just angry. He wants to avenge that loss. And when someone's sitting on something like that for that long, it can go one of two ways. It can work in your benefit or it can go against you. So, but I think he has the mental stability to last it and overcome all that kind of stuff and get the job done. So yeah, Cottrell in 10, in my opinion. But like I said, this is huge domestically in the UK. I don't know how much traction it's going to pick up here, but guys,
girls, only the hardcore boxing fans watch her, but if not, not much.
Well, I tell you what, man, if whoever it is, watch this fight. It's going to be probably, you know, sleeper in North America that people will come back to and go, oh shit, this was really, really good. All right, man. That's basically, we got four rounds in here, but I wanted to touch on this one. Is Usyk now considered one of the greatest of all time in our opinion? I will say yes, absolutely, because of what he's accomplished at the two highest levels of boxing. Yes, there's so many divisions in boxing, and there's many things that
make
it great. But the reality of it is, if you get it done at the heavyweight division or the cruiserweight, even, I mean, you know, those are the two divisions. Cruiserweight doesn't hold the weight that heavyweight does, obviously, but they're the two heaviest divisions, and this guy just ran buckshot on everybody.
Never lost. Yeah.
No, he's never lost. He's done everything he said he was going to do. His speed, his feet, everything. Like, this guy has to be considered one of the best of all time now. Would you put him there?
I don't put him as one of the best of all time, but I definitely put him as one of the best of this era, hands on. I mean, like you said, cruiserweight champion, undisputed there. Now he's doing it in heavyweight. And he's not like a big heavyweight. Like, he's not a small guy. He's 6'3". He's fighting Joshua and Fury. These guys are giants. He shouldn't be beating these guys like that, but he is, with skill and technique. And he's just a better fundamentals. He's better skilled than Fury and Joshua. And these guys are power, but they can't get him. So I'd say he's definitely going to go down as one of the greatest of this era for sure. And he's going to be an all-time great. If he beats Fury again, then yeah, he's going to go. Make an argument. He could be a top seven, top eight heavyweight of all time, because nobody will have a resume like him. So you got to give him his due.
Let's go back 4 years. You know, I'm going to go back 4 years, because 4 years ago, it was Joshua, Wilder, and Fury. These were the three guys that everyone was putting everything on. Then Joshua fell. Then Deontay fell. And meanwhile, the guy dropping all the other guys was this guy, Usyk, and then he just dropped the king himself, right? So, you know,
if he beat Joshua back-to-back, and if he can beat Fury back-to-back, I mean, holy cow. Like, you can't say enough about the guy. I love his discipline. He's a goofy-looking dude. Now, like Tyson says, he's a silly-looking guy, but man, can he fight? And he's got perfect technique. His hands are up. He's fainting. He's moving. Like, him and Lomo are just so disciplined, and they got great training. They don't play around, and these guys are skilled, and they'll fight anybody. And
the way he handled Fury in that last half of the fight, and just the way he took over and he controlled it, you figure this guy's got reach over you. He can basically put his hand on your head and hold you at bay. You know, I mean, he had that kind of reach over him. And the fact that he just came in, yeah, he was marked up too. But at the end of the day, man, I mean, this guy has to be, I think he goes down as one of the greatest of all time, in my opinion, just for his accomplishments.
I can argue with that. I wouldn't put him there right now, but he's on that trajectory, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to place him there already just for what he's accomplished. I mean, you know, I think he will solidify, because if that rematch, like you said, he comes out and he destroys...
Going down officially in October, Fury said today, it's on, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. And if
it's too bad it's in Saudi Arabia, because I wish it was in Vegas. I'd love to be there to watch that. It's too bad. Well,
you know, who knows, man? Let's see what they do in October. Maybe it is in Saudi. It probably is in Saudi, but...
No, it's in Saudi. It's already been said.
Yeah. But they are branching out. So we are getting some cards from Saudi into North America now, which is kind of cool. I mean, Los Angeles, we got... we got that card.
By the way, Ronaldo was sitting ringside there. That watch he was wearing was $1.5 million. Yeah, he's making a ton of money in Saudi Arabia playing soccer against guys who aren't even, not much better than beer league guys. A little bit better than that, but not much.
Well, I mean, the Saudis are taking it over, man. I mean,
Saudis got golf. They got the best golfers in the world.
Yeah.
They got some of the best boxers in the world. They're coming for all the sports in North America. Don't kid yourself, guys. These guys aren't playing around. They got them disposable income. And they're going to pay for what they want. They got wrestling now. They got it all.
Well, I think the two sports that will be safe in North America, and I mean, never say never. I don't think they'll ever really approach ice hockey.
No, because you can't do that there.
Right. I don't think American football will fly over there too much. Right. And baseball.
Yeah, but they're coming, man. Like I said, with the combat sports. And good for them, man. You know, people want to hate on that country. You know, they do some bad things. I get it. But at the end of the day, they got the money. They put on good events. Everybody that goes there and comes back says, man, we treated so great there. Great people. They're nice people. It's safe. We don't got to worry about getting robbed. Like, you know.
I want to say that it is one of the safest places in the world. Example, yeah. They showed this. I saw a video of this. A guy in Saudi. I don't know where he was. But, I mean, the whole region's the same. He left his cell phone on the hood of his car and walked away. No one touched it. No one took it. In fact, one guy took the phone and put it where his windshield wipers are so it was safe.
Yeah.
That's that kind of country that
you,
is.
You don't want to commit a crime there because you do not want to go to jail there. They don't play around.
This is why it's safe, because no one messes around there, right? Yep. I mean, it's just
I want to go there one day. I want to go there and watch a fight. I want to check it out, and it's safe. And
you know what? Great. I mean, once we're able to, we will go. Definitely. We will be there.
Yeah. Okay. I heard nothing but good things about it from everybody that goes there. You know, Vince McMahon, Bob Bear, Teddy Alice, you name a guy, they say it's amazing there. Great people, great hospitality.
100%.
Yeah, everybody.
All right, brother, anything on this day in boxing and Canadian history?
Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff here. So we're going to go with American history first. Sure. So on this week in boxing history, at 46, Mr. Bernard Hopkins himself, the executioner, he ended up becoming the oldest man in boxing history to win a belt when he beat my boy, John Pascal, in Quebec to win the WBC light heavyweight champion of the world. I was cheering for John Pascal. I thought at 46, you know, he can get Hopkins. You know, Hopkins had other things in mind. The great Bernard Hopkins at 46. I think at the time, old Pascal might have been 28 to 30. You can't remember his exact age, but he was much, much younger. Here's another one. This is going way, way back here. Over 100 years ago, this man is known as the Feckled Wonder, Mr. Bob Fitzsimmons. He is the first boxing champ in three different divisions to wear gloves. So he was bearing up when they first went to gloves. He coined the phrase, the most famous phrase that we hear in boxing. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's from the Feckled Wonder, Mr. Bob Fitzsimmons. He made that, took that national, and everybody says that the bigger they are, the harder they fall. That came from the Feckled Wonder himself. Started wearing gloves, three different weight classes. Had over 100 years ago, man. It's amazing. That when I started researching this, I said, I didn't even know he coined that phrase. Nobody does. This is the stuff you learn when you're putting the work in, right? Great phrase.
And then we got some history. So much history that you don't even know about.
We got some Canadian boxing history. There's not a lot all the time, but something happened this week in Canadian boxing history in 1913 in the most beautiful place in Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia. Joe Bailey beat Ernie Barreiro for the Canadian Light Heavyweight Championship. Bailey knocked him out in the 10th round in Vancouver, 1913.
Where was that fight? Empire?
I didn't list the building. It's not standing anymore. I can't remember what it was. It was not a well-known building. I think this was like a local hall.
Okay. Yeah, no, Empire's held, like, I mean, people
No, know, no, this wasn't Empire. This was like a local hall.
What I mean was, I drive by it all the time when I get onto the highway, and, you know, you don't realize, a lot of people don't realize how much history happened right in that corner of Hastings Park, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Ali fought there. The Beatles performed there. You know, it's just the history of that little
place.
Huge, right? Just massive history there.
The Beach
All
Boys.
Right, brother, man, that was amazing. We got some great fights happening this weekend. Looking forward to see what Christian can do here and keep building up his name.
I hope he wins too, man.
I'm looking forward to it. It's a top ranked card, so that's also really good as well. So
yes,
maybe
best commentators. Go test it for Bradley.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I do miss Andre Ward. I wish he would show up somewhere, but let's see where
I think three's a little crowded. I like the two. I like two guys in there, but Andre Ward is all right. But
yeah, you know, I mean, they're a good three, man.
He'll bounce back somewhere else.
Too, right? So go from there, man. Yeah. All right, brother, man. Let's wrap this up here. It is Friday Eve, Thursday. So we got a couple sleeps before all this action starts to take place. Hopefully the weather's crap so I can stay inside. If not, we're going to figure it out. On that note, I'm Bobby Sampson. He's Mr. Chance Michaels.
And in the words of the great ACDC, those that download, like, and subscribe to the podcast, we salute you.
We do salute you. And guys, I've said this time and time and time again, but I'm going to say it again and again. Don't believe the hype and don't believe people who criticize you. They're only there just to hate on you and not to see you succeed. If you have a dream, follow it. If you have a dream, work hard for it. Don't give up. The ones that give up never achieve anything.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And if anyone hates on you, it's because they hate themselves. I say it again, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. If anyone hates on you, it's because they hate themselves and they don't have what you have to succeed.
And the words of the Feckled Wonder, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, man. That guy doesn't get enough credit for coining that. But man, nope. What a friend.
That's beautiful. All right, guys, enjoy the weekend. Be safe. Do what you got to do, but get home to your family. And we want you back on Tuesday and Thursday to check out these shows. Sap and Chance. Oh.